This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, this is Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope if you're listening to me, you're just still kind of chillaxing a little bit before you get back to the work scene on Tuesday, or maybe you're retired, you're hanging out with the fam. I mean, we span the generations here on this show, and I thank all of you for listening, whether you're brand new or you've been around for a long time, like Michael, who's listening to us in New Orleans. He gave me a shout-out in one of my mailbags and said that he had been listening the entire time I had been on the air for the past 15 years, because he reminded me that it's been 15 years. It's hard to believe that I've been doing this show for 15 years, but there you go. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate all that fabulous support. If you want to get a hold of me 24/7, it's so easy. Calorie-free. We don't care about calories on the holiday, right? Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right, I did get an email from Joey who asked, when did Labor Day start? Which I love that you asked that. I used to have a timeline of historical events. Maybe I'll start to kind of throw that out there, did you know kind of thing. So Labor Day became an official national holiday on June 28, 1894. I said this in the previous show the other day. President Cleveland signed a bill into law during the infamous and deadly Pullman strike. So the work week, this is what's crazy, right? The work week was Monday to Saturday. It was 60 to 65 hours. Some of you are like, so what? This is what I'm working, especially if you're an entrepreneur, right? By the 20s, the work week fell to about 50 hours. And in 1940, Congress created the what we currently have, the so-called 40-hour work week. With 10 million job openings, I would say labor has a lot to celebrate, wouldn't you? Yeah. But you know what's so crazy about the job openings? I think there's big concern. I mean, seriously, America has 8.4 million unemployed. There are 10 million job openings. The economy is undergoing massive change. I mean, there's a lot of what you would call mismatches. What's available, what workers want to do, and especially for the first time in a long time, I think workers, I think the people seeking employment kind of hold the cards depending on what kind of job we're talking about. It's just such a mystery, and that's because of COVID, because what's happened in the midst of the pandemic and hospitalizations again rising. And especially what happened in 2020, obviously in March, there are still 5 million fewer jobs compared to before the pandemic. So that reflects problems, right? Child care, schools, daycare is shutting down from outbreaks. But there's a struggle, I really believe, to understand what's happening. And I really think it's an incredible time of an assessment of renewing of remote work, which has created a big shift in daily commutes because people now want to spend more time with family. Others want more flexible or a different career path. The you only live once mentality is like massively back on steroids. I'm just going to give you a little example. I had breakfast with three friends, and one's an engineer, and she's a brilliant engineer, and she works for a very, very big, well-known company and has been with them for 21 years. She has 5 weeks vacation, and she has a whole bunch of other things that they do that she likes. And then the other one is looking for a job. She works for a huge corporation, and she has skills that a lot of people want, and she doesn't like working for the place where she is now because why? She's working an insane amount of hours. And it's just that they need one other thing. Oh, 10 o'clock at night, it doesn't matter. So the remote work also has made some people not want to work where they're working because they could take an advantage of it in a much different way. And it's interesting to see what that's done to corporate America. So is there going to be a surge in job seekers like in the 22 22 states already phased out benefits, but workers didn't flood back to jobs. But now, over this Labor Day weekend, you've got the unemployment that's going to be lost at $300 a week in this federal bennies that are going to be done. So millions of gig workers and self-employed people are going to lose unemployment entirely. So will it be like the 22 states where there's not a flood of people looking for jobs, or what's going to happen? It's a big shift. I mean, it really is. How people want to work, where they want to work, what they're trying to figure out their best options, where they want to be, the openings. Like there are 3.5 million jobs in hospitality, and fewer than 1.5 million unemployed people whose most recent job was in the hospitality, and a lot of them are getting out of it. I had a really good friend who worked for a CVB in Texas, a popular one, and he was sought after. He loved his job and everything, but when the pandemic hit, it made him reassess it. He has two very, very small kids under 3 years old, and he took a different job. And said he's not in hospitality. He's so happy. It's his dream job to not be in hospitality because of the scary changes that happened when it was on shaky ground. So, you know, leisure and hospitality would be, I think, a concerning one. What about construction and the jobs that are available and the jobs that were lost? What about in manufacturing? And I would think manufacturing, I mean, depending on the skills, there's certainly demand in some places, but I would think that would level out, but maybe not. I mean, nationwide, most industries have more job openings than people with prior experience in that area, according to the Labor Department anyway. So that's different than after the Great Recession, when the number of unemployed outstripped the jobs available in every sector for years and years and years. So to find enough workers, companies might have to train workers and also, by the way, entice people to switch careers, which takes longer, especially if you have to have licenses, which a lot of them do, right? And companies are struggling to find workers. Many unemployed say they're having trouble getting hired if they haven't worked for a year, too. So it's weird. We're in this very unique spot in history. And it's just trying to understand that. I call it the Rubik's Cube. The Rubik's Cube of where we're at this point. There's a lot of wage competition for lower paid positions, especially since many former service sector workers say they're not going to return at any price because of the long hours, the grueling work, and increased exposure to the virus, because we're still in that uncertainty with the virus. I mean, we are, right? That's what we're at. Okay, and I want to say this, I want to mention this, because we lost a good one. Today's show weatherman, and really, he was such a clever, funny guy. Very, very, very funny. Willard Scott, dead at the age of 87. I love what Katie Kurt tweeted out. She said, you didn't make it to the Smucker's jar. Because what I remember about him as a kid, and I also said this on a previous show, is that he had those Smucker's jars with somebody that made it to 100. And my great-grandmother, Fitzgerald, made it to 100. And I remember what a big deal that was. Made it to 100, so made it to the show. And he was, you know, that weather guy that had that personality. And he was the original Ronald McDonald, which is so crazy to think about it. All right, happy Labor Day once again. Coming up, another special edition of The Mailbag. Stay with us.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR. EPR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs loves Beyond Tangy Tangerine, a complete nutritional supplement from Longevity. That's why he recommends it to everyone he meets and takes it himself every day.
Beyond Tangy Tangerine, my personal favorite longevity product, multivitamin, mineral complex powder. You add it to water and drink. It's a great way to get yourself off the snack foods. It's a great way to demonstrate to folks who are non-believers in nutritional supplementation how effective a supplement program can be. It's great for kids. It tastes awesome. It's less than $50 a month, and it's truly a cornucopia of nutrition. Vitamins A, C, D, E, K, your B complex.
To get a nutritional supplement that's loaded with nutrients that even your kids will like, order Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the milk. When we talk about the milk, please, milk, I'm dying to talk about the milk with you all day, okay?
Once again, the holiday version of the mail bag. Thanks for filling it up, as always. And there's been some interesting email, because we've had so many tragic things happen. There's been some interesting email that sometimes slips through the cracks where you ask me open-ended questions and ask what I think of this or, you know, what's my dream vacation or, you know, questions you might think about. I don't know. And I decided I would compile some of those questions for the special Labor Day mailbag. So here you go. This one is from Scotty Boy. I like that. Scotty Boy. Scotty Boy says, hey, Kate Delaney, I listen to you in the great state of Connecticut. I know that you have spent some time in Connecticut and you grew up in the, you know, Northeast and have lived all over the country. What I think is so interesting is when you talk about, and you don't do it so much lately, but you've done it in the past, is when you talk about your personal life a little bit and you talk about the fact that you like golf and that you've played golf all over the place. And I'm wondering if you have a favorite golf course. You know what's great about this job is that, especially I was doing sports, and I'm a content junkie, news, I got a journalism degree. When I did sports, I got into sports because guys in the newsroom talked me into, hey, you know as much about sports, or you're enthusiastic about it, it'd be great. And so I did some sports, and on some big stations, WFAN in New York, and KRLD in the Ticket in Dallas, and NBC and CBS, and I'm still on the bench for some networks, but... And, of course, we do The Man Cave, and I wrote a sports book. And so I got a chance, because of sports, to play at a lot of great golf courses. It's so hard to pick one. Like, I played Pebble, which I was not prepared for, right? Sucky, hitting it off, veering it off out into the ocean twice and hitting it into trouble. And I played Beth Page before one of the U.S. Opens, and that's in Long Island. And it took 100 years to get there because the traffic, of course, was horrific, but I made it. And I played okay, and I played with some golf writers, so that made me uncomfortable in one way because they had pretty decent games. You know, this is what they did for a living, just followed around, played golf, all of that. And maybe I played up to them. So I played okay, but there was high fescue. And you get in that stuff, forget it. You need, like, a sickle to get out of it. And then I played Doral in Florida. And people talk about the Blue Monster, you know, that final 18th hole. And there's a couple courses there. And it was really fun. It's an iconic, you know, hole and course, and it was good. I enjoyed it. And they actually have four courses, I guess, there, and that's outside of Miami, or in, it would be considered in Miami. So I liked that. I remember that was really a fun day, but a very hot day, just pouring sweat. So thank you for asking me that question, and I do enjoy it, and I should get back to it. I haven't really played very much lately. I'm too busy, and because of the pandemic, even though some people took it up, it was kind of the opposite for me. I have gone to the range and played a few times, but not enough to be dangerous, I guess. So in other words, I had to get my game back into shape, right? Okay, so let's move on to another one. This one is from Mary, and she says, Kate, you talk about the movies sometimes, and you've talked about going to the movies during the pandemic because hardly anyone was even at the theater. Do you have a movie that's upcoming that you're looking forward to seeing? That's such a good question. I'm kind of looking forward to Maverick. And the reason why is because I liked the movie Top Gun. I liked the whole military thing, the planes going off of the aircraft carrier, you know, the Top Gun pilots. And that's an old movie, right? But it's iconic. It's been played a zillion times. I mean, you got to think of the people that were in that movie. There was a guy named Tom Skerritt, who's an actor that I really like. Val Kilmer, who's gone through this horrific cancer, throat cancer. He was in it. Tom Cruise, the lead role. And it was so good. I mean, it just struck a chord with a lot of people. It's funny because it's the Top Gun Naval Fighter Weapon School, right, where the best train to be refine their elite skills, and you have a hotshot pilot, Tom Cruise, and all that. I mean, that's how that story unfolds. And it made at the box office over $350 million, and then it was played all over the place. It's still streamed all over the place. And now you're going to have this Maverick, the follow-up to that, that comes out, and the trailer's already out there, and I'm excited to see it. I don't know. Will it find an audience? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be disappointing? I think I'll like it. I like the military theme, and I had a lot of family that have been in the Navy. In fact, I had a cousin who married a Top Gun pilot, and I went to Annapolis and watched his career, and it was interesting. And my hubs was on an aircraft carrier, and he talked about that. He wasn't a pilot, but he talked about what that was like, and so there's something about it. So, yeah, I'm going to say, you know, that would rank up there, but I'm all over the map on movies. I like The Great Escape. I do like movies. Some people, you know, some hardcore people are like, movies are a waste of time. No. If you're enjoying it and you're hanging out with people and you're watching it with your significant other, yourself, whatever. I mean, and I like documentaries. I love documentaries. I mean, teach me something, please. But I like The Great Escape, too. I do. I'm anxious to see Dune. I saw the first one. I thought it was okay. Iconic people in it, of course. But I'm anxious to see this one. This looks like this could be pretty interesting. And I love detective things, crime, all of that. So anything to do with Tom Clancy, of course, I've seen all of those as well. We could talk about movies, you know, all day long, definitely. Okay, so let's, and it's such a small window, too, of time to be able to see that. Let's move on to another one. This one is from Billy, and he says, Kate, I'm wondering about books, and if you know, you have a lot of authors on, and I really enjoy it. I like the fact that you're giving a lot of unknown authors a chance to be heard, and they have different stories. I think it's interesting. It's almost kind of encouraged me or spurred me on to write my book, because, you know, there's that saying about, do you have a book in you? So I think I do, and I might be writing about something pretty soon. But I'm wondering, of the books that you've read or a writer you've read, what ones, like, of the names, the New York Times bestseller people, because I'm sure that you read a lot of different kinds of books. Who would you put on your list? Gosh, that's such a good question. Well, I said Tom Clancy. I read all of Tom Clancy's books. I also like Janet Ivanovich. She writes about a bail bond woman out of Trenton, New Jersey, and I think those books are hilarious. I like J.D. Robb. I like Stuart Woods. He writes almost like kind of a James Bond. It's not a James Bond character, but he's sort of, the guy's name is Stone Barrington, and it kind of reminds me of James Bond. So I like his books. I like a lot of different books, and that's what's cool. And you're right, that's what's cool about having the authors on, because I'm discovering material with the authors, you know, with all these authors. Well, so whether it's somebody that's obviously well known and somebody sent me their book or talked to me about them, or there's someone I followed as a kid, or my mother was a voracious reader, my grandfather, who I think was the smartest man ever, he used to kid us about education because he had to go right to work, and he was a truck driver to begin with in the beginning of his career, right out of high school, and then he ended up working with Owens Corning. But regardless of what he did, he read. I mean, he read so many books. And sometimes he would pass those books on to me, and it was interesting. He read all kinds of things. So I think I learned from both of them about just looking at all kinds of books, not just necessarily someone you were used to reading. And it's, if you can get lost in a book, and I say that with some of the authors, right? You know, I always ask that question, like, what can someone expect? If you can get lost in a tale, especially if it's the novel, because that's what you're looking for the novel, if you get engrossed in the characters, you want to know what happens to them, whether it's a love story, whether it's a tragedy, whether it's a crime, whether it's whatever it is, you know, whether it's a horror story, that's the key, is that you get invested in the storytelling. And that's the sign of, if it's a novel, that's the sign of a really good book. And if it's a memoir, if it's, or you're learning something, it's, do you get lost in what they're talking about? All right, stay tuned.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Four American citizens were evacuated from Afghanistan on Monday over a land route to a neighboring country. The evacuation facilitated by the State Department was the first of Americans since the final withdrawal of U.S. forces from the country. ABC News reporting that the group left with Taliban knowledge, but without their interference. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Sunday that around 100 American citizens were still in Afghanistan. And President Biden has approved a major disaster declaration for parts of New York and New Jersey that allows federal aid to be distributed to communities hit by severe flooding from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. The storm killed at least 27 people in New Jersey and another 13 in New York City. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said that early estimates showed the storm had done $50 million worth of damage in her state and expects that number to continue to rise. President Biden will visit affected areas in both states on Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News. As the Biden administration is beginning to roll out COVID vaccine booster shots, some are debating whether to receive that vaccine at all. Tim Berg has more.
The booster shot for the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine could be available in the next week or so, but a large portion of Americans still haven't gotten their first shot. Dr. Rich McCormick works in an emergency room in Atlanta and is running for a congressional seat in Georgia. He says the vaccine should be a personal decision.
This really should be a discussion between you and your doctor rather than the government giving carte blanche statements when everything's a percentage game and you can't possibly consider all the different things that would come into each consideration for a vaccination or a treatment based on your risk factors, your age, your exposure, all that that the government really can't make blanket statements on.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And 500,000 people are still without power in Louisiana and Mississippi more than a week after Hurricane Ida made landfall. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better, and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Labor Day on my mind. And what's on my mind? This is something that I do in the morning to kind of rid myself of whatever's going on. I know you all have the rattle in your head, meaning you have like this long either honey-do list or your own to-do list or everybody in the universe's problems you're solving or all of the things that you have to accomplish, or with whether it's personal work, etc. Or there's things that you're thinking deeper about, things that you want to do, things that you feel like, wow, it'd be great if I could do this. So I call it On My Mind. So it's a new segment we're going to do, On My Mind. What's on my mind? A couple of things. On my mind is, we just saw, and I said this in the show, that there are 10 million job openings and there are 8.4 million people unemployed. That seems odd, doesn't it? But it's not, because you can't just plug in people to jobs. And now what's happening is you've got this problem with the kind of lifestyle that we have now, because you've got remote work, you have people that are struggling because they need childcare, they need something else that you can't give them. You have people that don't want to go back to frontline jobs because they can get another job and they can be trained for it. You have companies that are struggling to figure out how they can train all the people. And it's like I said, it's a Rubik's Cube, but it's an opportunity. And so on my mind is corporate America, right? And critically thinking about the future. Thinking about how can we best match people to our mission? How many visionary leaders are there out there? I talked to someone, a friend of mine, the other day, who was saying, I want to work for this company because I would work for somebody who's visionary, meaning they have these great ideas about where we're headed in the future, and this is a technology company, and what's possible. And they're open-minded and want to listen to what people have to say. I think now more than ever that whether companies like it or not, certain corporations like it or not, and hey, even entrepreneurs and smaller businesses, keeping the employee involved, plugged in, engaged is so important, right? And often, and not always, but often a lot of times, that employee who is disengaged, if you engage them, sometimes those are the people that have brilliant ideas that could make something more efficient, more effective, more productive, make more money, make more sense if you listen to them. I mean, it can't be like a free-for-all. It's not like you can sit around singing Kumbaya and listen to everybody's ideas because you're not getting any work done. I'm not saying like that. And it's not an employee box like, hey, here's the suggestion box, because I know that used to be a thing that people would do, but really it would be nasty. It was usually nasty. It would be that somebody was upset with their supervisor or they had an issue with somebody they worked with. But actually having deeper brainstorming sessions, right, where you like bring in lunch and you let people not criticize but openly come up with solutions. I think it's about solutions. And on my mind is, you know, is capitalism to me done the right way? Done the right way is still, I think, the best way. But that's the problem. What is done the right way? And often it's the people who are on their backs who feel disengaged, not wanted, just yeah. And listen, you're going to have people that work for you that they're never going to be engaged. They could care less. They're just plugging away. I get it. I mean, there's always going to be people who need to get off the bus. You know, it's like that Jim Collins book, From Good to Great. And who shouldn't be there? Who's in the wrong job? But maybe they would be good in another job and would flourish. I've seen that at a lot of places that I've worked, where someone just wasn't in the right spot, but then when they had a visionary leader or someone who was like their supervisor and put them in the right spot, oh, it was like night and day. And then the company makes more money. I mean, listen, you make more money, they make more money. That's the whole thing. Isn't it a wheel? It goes round and round. Some people figure it out and some people don't. And I know in some cases it's impossible. Or it's impossible with whatever the obstacles are. Like, can you not find the solution? Is there just no way? And if there's not a solution, maybe you start over again. I think that's also sometimes the problem. You have a mandate and it's like, no, this is what we have to do. This is the way we've always done it. I mean, have you ever heard on a job, like, I don't care if you're driving a truck, I don't care if you're in construction, I don't care if you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, have you ever heard that expression, like, this is how we've always done it? That's like the worst. This is how we've always done it, so too bad you do it that way. Not if somebody can implement, not just blow smoke and they have some harebrained idea and no way to get there. I'm saying legitimately and exploring those and trying some things out. And if you try some things out and they don't work, that's okay too, because maybe there's gold in there and you find something else. So on my mind is, as we navigate this different world that we're living in, if more people thought that way and could let more of the people who work with them bring those ideas to the table, not in a harebrained, schemey way, but looking at solutions instead of the but we've always done this, but we need this second right now, I don't care how it is. No. How about and? Put a little more and into your life, even if you're a small business owner, right? And what could that and turn into? What could that turn into? I'm just thinking about it. It's on my mind. All right, also on my mind, sadly, or not sadly, I mean, it's life, right? I lived through September 11th in New York. I mean, I worked in New York and I lived in New Jersey, and it was shocking. It was sad. It was It made me angry. It made all of us angry. It led to an incredible change in our world. It made us look over our shoulders. It was very strange because I just read a story and I thought, it's on my mind too, that the summer before 9/11, because you think you're back to school, you get through Labor Day, and you're starting to fall. It's the fall. There's all kinds of things happening. And it was just like one of those summers where I thought, there's so much going on. It's so fun. It was a great summer for me. I had just started a job in New York in June. And you know what it's like when you start a new job that you're excited about. And sure enough, you know, I'm clicking along, went to the U.S. Open, all that stuff. And I said this briefly on a previous show. I think last week, I want to say, I said it. But, I mean, this really honestly happened. I was on a train with my mother. I was excited. I had gotten passes to the U.S. Open. So she wanted to go. It was like a fun outing for us. We parked in New Jersey, got on the train, went over the bridge, got to Queens to the U.S. Open, where they play tennis. So it's all comp, the whole thing. And because New York is extensive. So we're there, and we have a great time. We leave. And we're on the train, and we're looking across the river, and she sees the World Trade Center, and she's like, you know, we should go to the World Trade Center. We should start talking about it. When was the last time you were at the World Trade Center? And I had a college roommate, Amy, and she lived in New York, and I went in the opposite direction. I got out of school, and I was like in Nebraska and El Paso and California. And I can remember visiting her, and we went to the World Trade Center, and it was windy, and the buildings were like swaying, and it was so cool to me to go to the top of that. And I thought, even then with her, I hadn't been there in a long time. And then, you know, years after that, I'd been up there and taken some people up there, and because of just to see it and to eat up there and go to the bar that they had up there, so, 'cause you could see all of, you know, New York, big pieces of it, and New Jersey, and who was thinking that was going to happen? And it was just so chilling to me, and so sad afterwards that it's just like people disappeared. And I remember thinking for the first time, I mean, we know, right? People die, things happen, tragedies happen, but to have them taken away, to just be taken out because of people who wanted to destroy our way of life, people who were religious fanatics, aka terrorists, whatever you want to call them. But this is what happened. They to just do what they did, and to hear the stories of the people on this plane, and to hear about the flight crews, and for me to walk down to where the pile was, to talk to firemen, we were doing sports, I was doing a sports show, to not do sports and to talk only about that, and because nobody for weeks there was no sports, we didn't want to talk about sports. And then to go to that hallowed ground, and there's always a tightness in my chest and in my throat when I go down there, because I was there for that. I was there for those pictures of people on walls. Have you seen this guy? This is my father. And, you know, he weighs this much. He's this tall. People were just praying that somehow they were wrong and somebody they loved did not get crushed on 9/11 in those buildings on that brutal, awful, awful day. And that's coming up, and it's a big, sad anniversary of it, 20 years, and we'll talk more about it as we get closer to that. So that's what's on my mind. Thanks for listening. Ken Davies is coming up next to close out the show.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I'm very pleased to take you to the UK for a conversation with Ken Davies. He's written a book, One Stop to Happiness.
One Step to Happiness.
It is one stop, but One Step to Happiness. And I think about that and I think, wow, what is that one step? And, you know, before even seeing the book, it really had my mind going as what is the step that will get me there? What's that one step? So Ken, thank you so much for jumping on with us. And you know that it's just such a clever title, and really the meat of the book is really, really something that is life-changing if people can, I think, gravitate toward it. So what led you to writing this book?
Well, I didn't understand concepts of pride and humility, and therefore when I discovered how important they were, then I tried to my best to understand, and what sparked it all off, my search for understanding, was that I read about a vision that someone had of Christians and demons fighting, and the Christians that were losing were trying to fight with demons called pride, and they couldn't see them, the Christians who wore a cloak of humility could see these demons, and therefore they weren't taken in by them. So
wow.
That's what sparked it off for me, because I saw how important it was.
And, you know, it's interesting. If you think about it, you have to think about how you speak and what happens in your everyday life. And you gave me a wonderful example that I would love for you to share with the listeners about a little girl who asked you for a ride and what transpired in that conversation on the way to church.
Okay, well, this little girl, she was 11, her name was Emily, the daughter of some friends of ours, and they weren't going to church that Sunday, and my wife wasn't going to church that Sunday, but she phoned up. She'd never spoken to me before, and she said, would I give her a lift to church? And it was okay as far as her parents were concerned. So I said, yes, and I picked her up. And on the way to church, which was about 10 miles away, then she started telling me about her father's new second-hand car. She said, it's got electric windows. I said, mine's got electric windows. She said, it's got electrically operated seats. I said, mine's got electrically operated seats. And then I thought to myself, shut up, Ken, because you're boasting about your car to an 11-year-old girl. You don't need to do that.
And so that really, that's the key, is that there's a lesson in that, that you realize a lot of times it's innocent enough. It's not necessarily that you're trying to one-up somebody, but you don't realize you're doing it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly so. I mean, it's the old song, anything you can do, I can do better. From whatever musical, I can't remember, Fred Astaire or somebody, rather.
Right, right. And it's so true. And that was such a popular song. So in writing the book, what were the main themes you wanted to get across to everybody?
Well, first of all, I wanted to get across an understanding of what pride was, an understanding of what humility is, because I didn't understand them before I started on this route. And therefore, I thought, well, probably a lot of other people don't understand them very well either. So I thought, well, I'll do my best to understand them. And I read around and I prayed and I put things together. And having done that, I mean, for example, I got a list of symptoms of pride. And I looked at it like a spiritual disease. A disease has symptoms. And when so these are symptoms of pride. And then when you are recovering, you look for signs of recovery. And so I call those the signs of humility. And I brought what understanding I had at the time to a church midweek meeting. And the folk who were there were very happy with what I disclosed to them. And so I pursued the idea, and it ended up as a book.
And if you find that, if you find humility and really, really understand that, do you think it changes your life?
Yes, because instead of trying to vie for status all the time, and a lot of people do try and vie for status, I want to get to the top, I want to be the manager, I want to control things so that things go my way, and so on. Instead of trying to vie for status, you look for ways of serving your community, your friends, your family, whatever. And you don't worry about whether you're at the top or the bottom or wherever you are. I mean, if you have a very low status, but people can't knock you off, can they? And knock you down in any way, because if you're at the bottom, you can't go any lower, you know?
And also, do you think that if you operate that way, that you rise anyway, that things happen for you?
It might well happen, yes, if people notice and want to, I don't know, appreciate you in some way. But that's not the main motivation for doing these things. You're doing these things because you want to help others, yeah, serving in the community or in the church or wherever you are. And if someone thinks, well, that guy's doing a good job, I'd like him to move up a step, then fine, you might consider that.
And, you know, I said in the beginning, if you look at the book and you look at the title, The One Step to Happiness, you say that's what it is. That's the key. If you live that way.
Yes, yeah. That's just one step. I mean, that's part of the, or taken from the Beatitude, the Sermons on the Mount, where Jesus said, blessed are the humane, are the meek.
Yeah.
Et cetera. And meek and humility are often associated in that way.
You know, it's funny, in thinking about this and knowing I was going to talk to you, it is something that is kind of lost in this world right now, I think. I mean, certainly there are lots of people that embrace the idea of having humility. But we are in an era, in a time where I think the whole pride, the brashness, the TikTokers, the social media status, it's off the charts.
Yes, I think people, the youngsters want to be a famous pop star or a famous footballer or whatever else. Yes,
yeah.
They want to go to the top.
Yeah. And it's interesting because if you look at some modern films, or even if you look at films of the past, you can kind of, in some of them, find those themes. Exactly what you're talking about, where somebody gets knocked down because of what they're doing. And then they learn the lesson of humility. And then what happens, you know, from there. So for the people that are listening to us, I mean, what a great gift. For you, was it satisfying, peaceful? What washed over you after having this idea and then doing it?
Well, yes, I wrote the book, and it was satisfying in that I'd done it. There was other things that I've done in my life. When you do them, you find, you know, satisfaction from it. For example, my wife and I trained to be Myers-Briggs practitioners. That's understanding people. I don't know if you've come across that, have you? Yes, well, I mean, so we got the opportunity to lead workshops in Kenya, in churches over there, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And we found a little bit more about their timekeeping. You know, we said it was important to start at a certain time on a certain day, but some people turned up 25 hours late.
It's a different lifestyle, Ken.
That's not right, yes.
No kidding. So what's next? Will you do another book?
No, I mean, I'm getting old now. You can see that. I'm 76. I'm not quite sure what I'd write about anyway. I mean, I wrote a short story once many, many years ago, and that was only about 3 or 4 pages long. But I'm not sure that I've got the energy now to write another book. And, you know, my wife's not too well, et cetera. So I've got to spend time with her as well as having to go for my own medical checkups and all that sort of thing, you know.
Sure, you definitely don't seem old to me. One step to happiness. in the book, you got to leave us with one other story. What do you have, a favorite story from the book?
Well, if you like, the problem I see, not so much favorite stories in the book, but the problem I see is that some people, if they're at the top of a team, they want to keep control. And they might do a lot better if they invited some of the people in the team to take a lead in areas where they can do so. But so many people, once they're at the top, they want the control in their own hands. And it saddens me, because the place could go forward a lot faster and a lot better if only they shared the responsibility and didn't try to grab it all for themselves.
Yeah, that's the art of delegation. And
brought,
you know, lifting other people up too, and that's certainly part of it as well. Well,
yeah,
absolutely. We could tell everybody that all roads lead to Amazon, of course, or Barnes and Noble. And you can get Ken's book there, One Step to Happiness. You are just delightful. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.